What up, world? It's your Pass First point guard and Blazer beat writer, Mike Richmond. You're listening to another episode of Locked On Blazers that also happens to be an episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Today's special crossover episode is brought to you by the good folks at Built Bar. I'm here talking with Mark King and Sean Coleman of Locked On Grizzlies. Gentlemen, why are the Grizzlies going to make the playoffs? Sell me on it.
Oh, guys, what's going on, Mike? First of all, it's great to be here. I know Sean and myself always enjoy talking with other, you know, other podcasts, other teams for sure. You know, the Grizzlies, you know, they have done a lot of things. They have done a lot of things to try to not be in the playoffs, this bubble. But, you know, what we saw, I'll touch on this a little bit. Sean Coleman can get a little bit more in deep because he's a little bit more stats oriented than I am. But, you know, if the Grizzlies, we saw the last game against the Bucks. Now, granted, it was a game against a lot of Bucks secondary players, and that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Disrespect to Frank Mason.
You know, it is what it is. You know, there's no Giannis, and that's okay. But you know, the Grizzlies had a triple double from two different players, which has never happened before in franchise history. But the big thing on that is Jonas Valanciunas was playing much better than he has played pretty much in the entire bubble. Like, he actually took advantage of the inside matchups, which he's had quite often. And that's been a one thing that they just really haven't done that much. We would see them go to Jonas a little bit here and there, but not really. He really hasn't dominated that matchup like we really kind of expect him to sometimes. And so that's been really, really, that was really, really big for the Grizzlies. And that is a big thing for them to be able to try and do, along with John Morant. Obviously, John Morant's played well in almost every game that he's had so far in the bubble. He was really, really good against the Bucks. He's been really, really good again in almost every game. So that kind of goes without saying, is John Morant's probably going to be good. That being said, the other little bit of what the Grizzlies have to have is Dylan Brooks. You know, the Grizzlies talk a lot about Dylan Brooks, but you know, he's got to play kind of within – he played within the offense on Thursday. That was the big thing. He played within the offense, passed when he needed to make the extra pass, you know, drove the basket when he needed to drive the basket. We saw the game start out, and he made, like, the first 4 points by driving the basket. Like, that's big for the Grizzlies. Like, if he can have a controlled game that's not – you know, he doesn't take more shots than Ja Morant, and he just does what he's supposed to do, and then, you know, those shots will be open. I mean, that will be huge for the Grizzlies, something that they didn't have the last time they played the Blazers.
And a big difference between this time and last time, Mike, is that, you know, one thing about the Blazers is that, you know, they welcomed back Jusuf Nurkić the last time we played them. To me, Nurkić was the big difference and the reason why the Grizzlies or the Trailblazers were able to win.
Yeah, especially, he was crazy in that game.
Yes, it was just an awesome return game. You see, he showed in one game why he is one of the best bargains in the NBA with his contract. And to be honest, why y'all are in the position that you're in right now. He was a big loss throughout the whole season. Whiteside is good at what he does, but Nurkić is one of the more – he blocks shots, so it's good for highlights, I guess.
Yeah. But he's definitely good at being tall.
He's good at what he does is what he said, and he does that thing.
I guess that's undeniable. I'm sorry that I objected, Sean. You nailed it. He is good at what he does.
There's no objection there, but without a doubt, there's a reason why Nurkić was starting his first game back after, you know, I believe being out the whole season. But getting back to the Grizzlies, the one thing that is there for Memphis now that was not there in the Trailblazers game, yes, we're without Jaren Jackson Jr., but we do have the advantageous bench that is back. The Trailblazers have Gary Trent Jr., who has played phenomenal. He has been, in my opinion, the sixth man of the bubble. But you could argue that the Grizzlies have two of the top five bench players in Grayson Allen and Brandon Clark. So one thing that's there for the Grizzlies now that was not there last time is a bench. And so the second unit going against the Trailblazers, I think the Grizzlies could have an advantage there. And let's be honest, the Trailblazers, the defense is, you know, they can get a stop or two here, but their defense is not.
Yeah, one or two a game. They for sure stop a team at least twice a game from scoring.
Exactly. So the Grizzlies, they're not going to have as much room for error as the Blazers. But when it comes to Memphis and being able to now be a more complete team, even without Jaren Jackson Jr., these players are playing more consistently now. from our 1 through 9 in terms of our roster. I think that Memphis can, even if the starters themselves get a little bit behind the Blazers starters, I think that our bench can make up the difference. And at the end of the day, the Grizzlies offense has been better as the game has gone along, especially with Brandon Clark and Ja Morant in the game together at times. If Dylan and if Valanciunas is contributing, if our players are contributing in more ways than just scoring for Dylan or rebounding for Valanciunas, I think that we can make it a game on Saturday and get to Sunday and be able to, you know, play, you know, in a must-win situation for both teams. If our bench is on and our players contributing in multiple ways, which they did against the Bucks, I would be confident that we can at least win one game.
Yeah, I think the way you beat the Blazers is you spread them out, and the Grizzlies have figured out how to go a little bit smaller. I think having Brandon Clark on the at a four makes for a fun small ball group. It pains my Tar Heel heart to say this, but Grayson Allen has looked good at Disney World. He looks like a good NBA player. That's a real bummer, but it's it's an undeniable bummer. And I think if you, a lot of teams have gone a little bit small, or even not even small, but just perimeter oriented against the Blazers and just said, I bet you can't guard us in space. And that is a safe bet because the Blazers can't guard anyone anywhere.
The other thing is that we have failed to mention is that Tyus Jones could possibly be back for this game. Like that.
And more Duke guys. Let's get them all in there.
Yeah, but that's big for the Grizzlies. I mean, it's something that they really, really missed all year long. Like he has done a lot of things that you just don't even recognize. I mean, he keeps the offense moving in that second unit. So he makes that second unit off the bench, you know, even better than it had already has been in the past couple games. Even in a couple of losses, the bench was really, really good. So, you know, to get Tyus Jones back, that could really bode well for the bench unit in terms of just continuing the offense and making sure they don't fall off, you know, once Ja Morant leaves the game.
Yeah, that's, I mean, in the first meeting, DeAnthony Melton had a really nice game off the bench against Portland, and I think that really helped. It was just like, let's play a little bit faster and have some athleticism. And I think you add Melton and another actual ball handler in Tyus Jones, that could be a real boost for the Grizzlies.
And the other thing that I'll add is this, is that against, it was the first game back, so you have to consider that. But if Nurkic doesn't have the game that he has, and McCollum does not have the game that he has, the Grizzlies had a chance to win at the very end. Now, Jaren Jackson Jr. for us had his best game in the bubble, so you also have to consider that.
Yeah, a lot has changed in 2 weeks for sure.
The thing I will say, though, about Damian Lillard is that he had 29 points in the game against us. He was 10 for 22 from the field. Obviously, now, basically, for the last 6 games, he's been averaging 40, but that's just been enough for the Trailblazers. If the Grizzlies can find a way to just even contain him a little bit or prevent Nurkic or McCollum from really being a second source of, you know, automatic scoring or automatic contribution like they were in the first game, I think that helps the Grizzlies out as well. I'm not saying the Grizzlies defense is anything great, but at the very least, they do have a little bit of size out there. Yep. On the perimeter with Melton and Brooks. That may cause a little bit of issue to where we can slow down McCollum, Lillard, and Nurkic just enough to have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, the Blazers' margin for error in, like, virtually every game has been none. It's very, very slim. They just, if Ja Morant doesn't fall down, they're probably not in this position. But he falls down at the end of regulation. Blazers get hot for 90 seconds at the beginning of overtime, and here they are. I mean, it's there's definitely a lot of luck involved in how this all shook out for Portland.
I forgot about Ja Morant falling down. I'll be honest with you. I totally forgot about that. I feel like that was 2 months ago.
Happens at a different pace for sure.
It definitely happens at a different pace than that. But the only thing about Ja Morant is that he struggles with is, you know, I think he's really struggled with CJ and Dame guarding him too, though. So that's the other thing. It's like, you know, there's not a lot of room for margin of error on either side of these teams. But you know, we got a Ja Morant game in last on Thursday, but I was always expecting we get it like a 45-point Ja Morant game in this bubble. We never did. So I'm hoping that comes on Saturday. That would really go a long way.
Yeah, indeed. Well, let's take a quick break and come back and talk about why the Blazers might win. Even though we've sort of hinted at it a little bit, let's get Portland specific in the second segment. But before we get there, I want to tell all y'all about Built Bar. Built Bar is 2 things. It's delicious and it's healthy. That's the trick. It tastes good and it's good for you. Built Bar comes in 18 amazing flavors. They got the 12 original flavors that you know and 6 new ones that you'll love. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. New to the lineup, But you know what's not new to the lineup is that Built Bar is good for you. It's great for the health conscious among us. If you're looking to lose weight or just maintain your look, but you want a delicious treat, Built Bar is for you because it's low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high in fiber. Great for the keto diet. You're on the keto diet? Check out Built Bar. Consider the coconut almond flavor. It's got 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and just 5 grams of net carbs. Sounds pretty good. Here's what you do. You go to BuiltBar.com and you use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order. That's the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right. So we're still chatting here about Grizzlies, Blazers. They play each other in the play-in round Saturday with a potential game on Sunday. In the first segment, we talked about why the Grizzlies might win. But now, joined by Mark King and Sean Coleman of Locked On Grizzlies, let's shift gears and talk about why the Blazers might just finish this off. Gentlemen, I'll let either one of you take this. What worries you about this Blazers team for the weekend games?
Well, I'm going to jump in and just start here. I mentioned right before we took a break that, you know, Ja Morant has notoriously struggled with some of the more elite guards in the NBA defensively in terms of just getting past people. And so, that's something that, I think Portland can provide if they can really – again, like Ja Morant is the only source of offense. Like Sean mentioned earlier, like, oh yeah, if the Blazers, even if Damian Lillard scores 45, which is just kind of a thing now.
That's just a normal day at work.
Yeah, which is just insane to me. But even if Damian Lillard scores 45, you could just stop CJ or Nurkic from doing something. Well, like that's not like something the Grizzlies have. They just don't have that advantage. Like if you slow down Ja Morant, the team is done. Like team is on the donezo list. And so, if they can just find a way to make him settle for three pointers, which he's shown he will do in this bubble, if he will if he can't get inside easily, if he can't drive the basket easily, because that is the Grizzlies' offense is Ja Morant initiating the dribble penetration and kick. If you just frustrate him a little bit and just make him work a little bit harder than he's normal to, Ja Morant has shown a penchant for just settling against three pointers, and that would be huge because he's not a great 3-point shooter right now. He's got a good looking form, but he's not consistent enough to just settle for three pointers. So like that right there is worrisome.
I got good news for you, Mark. The Blazers are not going to keep him out of the paint.
I love that.
They haven't done it to anyone. Ask Josh Richardson, Alec Burks. Karis LeVert got loose last night. Karis LeVert's really good, but Ja Morant's really good. If you're good and you can operate a pick and roll,
Boy, howdy,
can you get to the rim?
I just want to say that Ja Morant's about 10 times better than Karis LeVert, so I feel good about that.
Well, he's 3 inches shorter, too, so maybe that's the difference. For me, the reason why the Blazers win this game is the gentleman you mentioned. It's Damian Lamont, Ollie Lillard. He is playing like the best point guard in the league, and the Blazers have needed every single bit of it. But the reason why I have confidence that the Blazers will win one out of these two games is because they have the best dude on the court. Sometimes it's that simple. Yeah. And Damian Lillard is the best. He's going to be the best dude on the court in both games. I mean, that's just how it works. Portland has some real flaws. They can't guard anyone. They only have 6 NBA players on the roster. That's a tough sell, but one of those dudes is right now the best point guard in the league. And when you have that, the rest of the math is pretty simple.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm going to be completely honest with you on my end. Damian Lillard, I adore Damian Lillard. I have since he's been in the league. I've told Mark and several others. I don't know if Ja ever becomes Damian Lillard the shooter, but the mentality that Dame has, I would love for y'all to have that. I think it's huge. The big, but the factor for me in this game, I mentioned it in the first segment, and I think it's the reason why you're going to win one of two games, is Joseph Nurkic. And it's not just the scoring. The scoring, Gary Trent Jr., McCollum, Melo, two of those three guys support Dame with 15 or more points. That just sets too high of a floor, I think, for the Grizzlies to be able to beat twice. But Nurkic's ability to set the high screens to get Portland open for their mid-range shots or getting the shots in the corner, Nurkic, while they do allow people in the paint, Nurkic was an absolute nightmare. He was altering shots, blocking shots in our first game.
He had six blocks, I think, in that first game. Yeah. He was awesome.
When the starters were on the court, the Grizzlies had a tough time getting in the paint. The only reason why the Grizzlies got back in that game is Nurkic fouled out late, which gave the Grizzlies a chance. But also when he was off the court and they got on the run, Nurkic, they are going to have a tough time navigating around Nurkic in the half court, especially on defense. I just think Nurkic, at the level that he's playing, he sets that floor too high for the Grizzlies to be able to beat it twice. I know Dame is going to be the main reason, but I think when you really look at it, Nurkic is going to make the difference. It's just going to make it very tough for the Grizzlies to beat the Blazers back-to-back days.
Now, the other thing I think is very important to notice is about the Grizzlies' defense, like Sean mentioned a little bit. Like, we saw this in the first game, and that overtime, Damian, they were paying they just really honestly, like, the last, I don't know, six or seven possessions of the regular time in overtime, it was the same play. It was the same high pick and roll, and the Grizzlies just could not defend it. And the reason they couldn't defend it was because, you know, you play a side pick and roll and a high pick and roll differently, the way the defensive rotations are. But Damian was running the pick and roll like in that little gray area of the elbow where you really don't, or even closer to high, but like you really, it gets played differently. And so they would run that high pick and roll or just that kind of, even just in a bad area to where the Grizzlies defenders behind them didn't really know what to do. And it led to two or three mellow threes in a row. Like,
yeah.
And they ran it over and over. And when it came to crunch time, like you mentioned, it was like, okay, let's just let our best player do this and make plays, because he was getting right to the front of the rim and kicking out for an elbow three, or he was scoring the basketball, one or the other.
Yeah, I think the other thing, and Sean touched on this a little bit, the reason why I would pick the Blazers to win the play-in round is just the math. Like, they only have to win one of these games. And that alone, it seems like a big, like, that alone seems like enough reason to pick whoever was an eighth, not just Portland or whatever. If the Grizzlies had finished an eighth, I would have said they've got a real leg up, because you only got to win one of these games over the weekend. And two cracks at it seems like enough of a significant advantage to make a difference. I will say this, and I wonder if you gentlemen agree, that I really have enjoyed this play-in format, and I wouldn't be mad if the NBA adopted something similar in the regular season, because or in like when things go back to quote unquote normal, just because it's added some intrigue to the last games, which are usually duds in the NBA.
We're sitting here talking about, we've had so many shows about the eighth seed, about a bunch of teams trying to play for the right to get beat by the Lakers. That's what we're,
like, congratulations.
You know what I mean? Like, so that tells you all you need to know about the amount of intrigue they've created in terms of what the NBA has done with this eight seed. It's like, we're all like, everybody's talking about it, how like all these scenarios and what happens this and what happens now. And we all just kind of forget, like, oh yeah, by the way, if you win all this, you have to play the Lakers. And good
luck, you
got to
figure out how to guard LeBron and AD for seven games. Well, five games more likely, but yeah,
that's your prize. Good luck with that. So
yeah, especially after playing, the Blazers are going to end up playing like 3 and 4 nights, and then they'll get a Monday off, and then it's like, cool, you ready? Great. You've played like really high leverage games for 2 weeks. Cool. You have a rested Lakers team waiting for you.
Exactly. Well,
and the thing that I'll add is this, though, is that the other thing that I'll like about the play-in, obviously don't like how it happened with the suspension of the season, with all that's been going on. But a big thing that the Blazers are reminding people is that this is a team that was in the Western Conference playoffs last year. This is a team that was projected to be in the playoffs this year. It was injuries and it was ineffective play that made them even be in the running this case. If the Blazers are fully healthy throughout the year, the Grizzlies aren't in the conversation for the playoffs, in my opinion. And I think because they're fully healthy, while the number of games they played in days does impact things, I do think this Blazers roster, the depth may come and hit them. But if Gary Trent Jr. can play like he's playing and their starters play effectively.
You love Gary Trent Jr. Jeez.
Dude, this is an all Duke podcast. We're just Tyus Jones, Grayson Allen, Gary Trent Jr., Christian Laettner, Cherokee Parks. Come on.
All I'm saying is that when it came, by the way, it's Greg Paulus. It starts and ends with Greg Paulus.
Oh, but the Lord. Thing that I'm no, getting no at thank is, you.
But for when it comes to Gary Trent Jr., you mentioned they had six NBA players. All I'm saying is that if the Blazers continue to score like they have been scoring, they're going to be a problem for the Lakers guards. I think the Lakers win the series, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Blazers take it to at least six. If they get past the Grizzlies, I think it's going to be a fun series.
Yeah, I mean, Damian Lillard's really good, and he, like, in that the game in Staples Center right after Kobe passed, he put together one of the great performances he's ever had. It's kind of like a forgotten one, but he was awesome in that game, and it's like the Lakers obviously really wanted to win for a variety of reasons, emotional and just regular competitiveness, and Dame had 48 and just put him on his back. I mean, he's capable of winning a game, Allen Iverson style, but I don't know, several seems like a big task.
Agreed completely.
You guys want to take the last break and come back and do a little bit more?
I'd love to.
Before we take the last break, I want to also remind you guys that you need to start your morning with the news that matters most in just 10 minutes. Axios Today hosts Nyla Badu and a team of award-winning journalists will bring you the latest analysis and insight into the trends that are shaping our world. Go check out one of our amazing sponsors, Axios. Talking with Blazers and Grizzlies, a crossover episode today. So it's the first segment. We talked a little bit about the Grizzlies. Second segment, we talked a little bit about the Blazers. I figured we could just get into whatever we think matters most besides Gary Trent Jr. Because this, I didn't know if you guys noticed, we're listening to the Gary Trent Jr. podcast hosted by Sean Coleman.
Sean Coleman's Gary Trent Jr. Locked on Gary Trent Jr. with Sean
Locked
Coleman.
Locked on Gary. You know, I really didn't know you had that affinity for Gary Trent Jr. That's okay because I'm just upset at Patrick Beverley and Paul George for making Damian Lillard mad. That's really all I care about. Like, did they have to do that? Like right before the Grizzlies game, like, did they need to do that to get a different side of Damian Lillard that none of us really want? I mean, I guess I needed that right before the Lakers series because that man is on a mission.
Yeah. Is it really that different though? He was doing this. He had I think 15 games between January and February where he averaged like 42 points per game over a 15 game stretch. I think he averaged a 10 game stretch like that every year.
Yeah, he was the best player in basketball in late January for a brief period. And no Pat Bev on that one. Pat Bev didn't have to yell at him. But Dame didn't go off like in spite of Patrick Beverley and Paul George. He did it because of them. Like if he hadn't missed those free throws, they don't yell at him. And so he bricked free throws, his own problem, and they were mean to him and he got mad. Like if he makes those free throws, he goes on this tear, independent of them. Maybe he doesn't need the game he had against Brooklyn if he just doesn't lose to the Clippers C team on Saturday. But I don't. I think the narrative built itself, sort of the myth built itself, because Dame bricked two free throws he usually makes.
Well, and that's what I think it's going to come down to. You know, we talked about the math of the Grizzlies having to win, one of two games. The Blazers only have to win one. The Grizzlies have to win two. And the big thing about it for me is this, is that who's going to get to 120 the quickest? And when you look at the Blazers between he who should not be named, Damian Lillard, and Melo, between those four players, plus you had an extra 15 from Nurkic, that's five players right there from the Blazers who you easily can get 90 from. With the Grizzlies, you're going to have Jonas Valanciunas and Dillon Brooks, plus Ja Morant on, just to get 60.
What makes me sad about that?
What's that?
Is that it took a triple-double from Jonas and a triple-double from Ja and a good game from Dillon just to beat the backups for the Bucks.
Agreed.
That's what's the sad part about all that. And really kind of disheartening is that it took all that to beat the Bucks' second unit, pretty much. So that tells you everything you knew about this weekend.
The only other thing I'll add is that the Grizzlies, the only way that they're getting any type of three-point success is catch-and-shoot opportunities from getting success in the paint. If Nurkic is sitting there dominating the paint, Ja is 9-for-4 from three. The Grizzlies are in the bottom three during the bubble in both pull-up and catch-and-shoot shooting in terms of percentages. All the Blazers need to do is sag. Zach Lowe talked about it in his article today. Defenses are figuring out the sag. under the pick and roll off of Ja to make him shoot. If the Blazers simply sag and make this into a jump shooting game, I don't see any way the Grizzlies are going to be able to beat them two games in a row. And I think that's what you're going to see the Blazers do. That's an X factor for me. How accurate can the Grizzlies be on their jump shots?
Yeah, I think that's a good one because they need Dylan Brooks to be just like fantastic. Agreed. Shooting the ball because they don't have him. Agreed. I mean, losing Jaren is just, first of all, he's an incredibly fun player. But he opens up so much for what they do, for how the Grizzlies want to do things. Losing his shooting and his size has really handicapped them the last week or so. It's a bummer because you want to see teams at full strength this time of year.
I mean, Mark, what do you think? I mean, do you think there's a factor in there that, you know, I think the Grizzlies have a chance, but unless they just score and have an on game from people who haven't been on, I don't really see an equation that works out in their favor.
You know, the only thing I'll say is that looking at the box score, just kind of how the previous game in the bubble played out, Mike, you know, you're right. Like it took a lot of breaks for that to go right for them, honestly. Like, and I'll say, yes, Jaren Jackson had an amazing game, but he was also 6-for-15 from three. Like the Grizzlies as a whole were 13-for-41. So that gives you an insight of what you're talking about in terms of just making shots. But also Grayson Allen really hadn't really come into the Grayson Allen that we've seen the last four or five games or so, you know, scoring 15 to 20 points off the bench. And so that's pretty big too, because he only had 5 points in that game. He was 1-for-1 from three. So that's a little something. So maybe some of those are points that you lose from Jaren Jackson can be replaced by Grayson Allen. Jonas Valanciunas wasn't very good either. Only, you know, 16 points, only took 4 shots.
Yeah, he had foul trouble and he couldn't. He just had a bad game. I mean, he's better than he played in that first game.
Absolutely. So, you know, you get, you know, so maybe Jonas and Grayson have a good game. You know, you mentioned De'Anthony Melton, and honestly, that wasn't even a good game from De'Anthony. He had 6 steals in a game, a couple, you know, against the Thunder. So like, you know, the bench was not really the bench that we've seen the last few games when they first played the Blazers. So that's where I look at it and say, okay, that gives me some hope, because I think that if you can, the bench that has been playing the last few games is a completely different animal than what we saw in the first game against the Blazers.
Yeah, I'll say my X factor for the Blazers is just health. CJ McCollum playing with a fracture in his lower back. He's apparently been playing with that since that first game. He injured it diving for a loose ball against Jaren Jackson in that first game in Orlando. So he's playing 40 plus minutes a night with a fractured back. So I don't know how. I mean, obviously he's willing to play through it, but you know, he had a stinker game against Dallas with the injury. So it's kind of just his health. Hassan Whiteside hasn't been healthy. And in the game last night, every time he left the court, Zach Collins went and rode the bike. When you ride the bike on the bench, that is not the sign of full health. That is the sign. that is not a positive sign. So for me, the Blazers X factor is health, because they have no depth. I mean, if it isn't Nurk and it isn't Whiteside, then it's Wenyen Gabriel. And that is quite a step down. And otherwise you're asking Carmelo Anthony at age 36 to play 40 plus minutes a night. They already have a super tight bench. So anyone in that top seven gets hurt, and the drop off is very severe, very fast.
So then let's go around. Go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so then let's go around the room. So say, Mike, we'll start with you. So your prediction of how many games are played, who ultimately wins, the reason why that team advances, and one bold prediction for the weekend.
That's a lot of predictions.
Okay, let me do it. Two games, and the Blazers prevail on Sunday thanks to Damian Lamont, Ollie Lillard. He'll score 155 points in game two. What was my last prediction?
It was a bold one, but that may be your bold one. Is that?
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Boldly, he scores 155, shattering Wilt Chamberlain's record.
Wow.
If you give him enough time, he's capable of it. He's put on the cape and hasn't taken it off for 10 days.
It's been fun to watch. Mark, that's how about you?
I'll go two games as well. I think the Grizzlies get the game on Saturday, but I think the Blazers ultimately probably win. It's difficult to beat the team two times in a row for sure. So I'll go two games. I don't know if that I can be bolder than 155 points on Sunday, but I'll go with a Ja Morant game on Saturday. I'm going to go with like a Ja Morant 40 plus game on Saturday.
So I'm going to go two games. I'm going to go the Blazers do prevail. Dame is the reason why, though Nurkic could be.
Not Gary Trent?
Y'all didn't hear harping on Gary Trent. If there is to be a player that I stand for, it's Joseph Nurkic. But Mark can tell you my favorite non-Grizzly is Domantas Sabonis, whose dad has Trailblazers lore, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But I love those type of players. But my bold prediction is that the Grizzlies win game three, but it's because of support from Anthony Tolliver. I think Anthony Tolliver makes 4+3s in game one on Saturday, and he's provided some instant offense that's led to some surges in the second quarter. I think he helps 2 surges in the first and the second half and makes 4 more threes to help the Grizzlies prevail.
Anthony Tolliver revenge game. How dare you trade me to how dare you trade me to Sacramento?
That is a bold prediction, Anthony Tolliver, 4-3-point game. I might be bolder than a 155-point game from Damian Lillard.
I'd say they're equally likely.
Equally likely? Yes, for sure.
He made 3 last game. You never know.
He's going to play, and he's going to get him up. Tolliver might hit 4 threes. I'm just messing around.
Cool. Well, I guess that's that pretty much wraps up the show, guys. I think that we've covered everything that we should have covered in terms of this Blazers-Grizzlies matchup. Anything else before we get out of here?
Yes, just remember to subscribe to the podcast. You can find both under the same name, Locked On Gary Trent Jr. for the Grizzlies and Locked On Gary Trent Jr. for the Trailblazers via John Coleman.
Go subscribe.
Just search Gary Trent Jr. wherever you already get your podcasts.
Exactly. Just go subscribe so you don't miss anything else. Subscribe to all 3, Locked On Gary Trent Jr., Locked On Grizzlies, Locked On Blazers, so you guys don't miss anything at all. We will see you next time.